It's a wet afternoon but well attended. So we'd like to welcome all of you to Ayala Last Briefing and its results for the first half of 2016. Joining us on the line are four callers, and we'd like to remind everyone that our materials are available for download at ir.ayalaland.com.ph. And of course, I'd like to introduce the presence of our key speakers, led by our President, Mr. Bobby D., and our Chief Finance Officer, Mr. Ismael. And I'd also like to recognize the presence of our officers, Ms. Angel Salvador, our Vice President, Comptroller, and Mr. Juni Halandoni, our head for the leasing business. So to start off the presentation, let me turn over the floor to Mr. Bobby.
Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining for today's briefing. I thought to start off, primarily because, you know, obviously we have a new administration with President Duterte now, and I thought it was a good time for us to actually step back a little bit and take a look at our plans and see basically where we are, and basically try to map out how we move forward, given what we've heard so far. My first slide, I guess, is something that probably all of you are already familiar. As you know, President Duterte enjoys a 91% trust rating. I think it's an overwhelming mandate for him to be able to implement changes that he wants to implement, as well as move on his priority initiatives. And I think he's basically outlined the 10-point socio-economic priorities that he's outlined. And when we look at those particular programs, I think they'll be quite supportive of the real estate sector. I won't go through all of them, but I'll probably highlight a few of them. So he talks about maintaining the macroeconomic policies of the last administration. As you know, for the real estate industry, this is a very key component, particularly on interest rates. The fact that he's mentioned that he will basically maintain policies of previous administration that basically allowed us to get investment grade rating, I think it's good. If he's able to maintain that, then we assume that interest rates will continue to be at fairly manageable levels, that will be very supportive, particularly for our residential business, as well as financing our capital expenditures for the buildup of our leasable assets. He talked about addressing bottlenecks in land administration. Obviously, this is really well. Can't imagine how complicated some of the processes could be in terms of having titles released in a timely manner. So this is basically good news for us, as well as our customers. Infrastructure spending was another key highlight. He wants to move on fairly quickly. And Secretary Tugad, I think, is wasting money. He really wants to make sure that these infrastructure projects get implemented quickly and alleviate the traffic problems both in Metro Manila as well as in Cebu. As you know, a lot of our developments now are concentrated in the urban areas, particularly here in Metro Manila. So any kind of improvement in terms of infrastructure, traffic, basically benefit the developments that we have in the city. There's a couple of other things I think will help. Obviously, attracting more foreign direct investments obviously will be a stimulus to the economy, as well as any kind of rationalization, hopefully reduction tax rates. We'll have a very base to be very good for a variety. So given that, as you know, we basically announced our 2020-40 plan back in 2014. From where we're at today, based on what President Duterte has indicated so far, we will continue with the 2020-40 plan. We will try to sustain the momentum that has been built and sustain the growth rate this year as well as the following years. Now, just to remind everybody, we were targeting 40 billion pesos in net income by 2020. That's coming from 11.7 billion back in 2013. That's basically about a 20% annual compounded growth rate year on year. The other thing that we're trying to do is to basically balance our portfolio, wherein 50% of our income will come from the development business, primarily residential and office for sale, and 50% in what we call our recurring income business, primarily shopping centers, offices, as well as hotels. What gives me in particular confidence that we'll be able to sustain the growth is actually what we've done over the last few years. Now, obviously, when we announced this a few years back, it was a target. But now I think we've made certain moves that gives us more confidence that the number that we're trying to target is actually achievable. Particularly on our land bank. We now have close to 9,000 hectares of land spread all over the Philippines. We now have 19 estates across the Philippines. As you know, a lot of our income previously was derived from four major estates, primarily Makati, BGC, Cebu, as well as Nuvali. Now, over the last 5 years, we've launched newer states like Arca, Circuit, Vertis. And over the next few years, once we open these developments, expect that more and more of the income will actually be coming from the new estates. So not only do we have the four established ones basically contributing to income, but we're going to get all the other estates also start contributing significantly to our bottom line. In addition, we continue to introduce new estates. This year in particular, we launched a project in Mandawi together with Aboitiz Land that's called Gatewalk Centrum. So expect us to continue to introduce new estates moving forward. The other good news that we have in terms of where our estates are located is the infrastructure that's actually being built or planned to be built in and around the estates that we have. Again, I won't go through all the different infrastructure projects that have been lined up beside our estates, but let me just highlight a few of them. One is the C5 Acropolis Green Meadows flyover. As you know, we have a partnership with Eton for a 35-hectare parcel along C5. And this particular viaduct or flyover will basically ease the traffic and improve accessibility into the area. There's also the North Avenue, Mindanao Avenue interchange. Now, as you know, we have Trinoma as well as a 30-hectare development in Vertis. So again, when this particular project is completed, we expect that that will benefit our development. As you know, we won the bid in South ITS, so we're going to start moving on that. That will basically allow us to get more commuters into our ARCA South project. I think the expectation about 150,000 to 200,000 people a day going through the development. If you look at some of the other transport projects, particularly, let's say, rail, the government has made pronouncements on the north-south commuter rail, which would basically help our 20-hectare Tutuban development through Prime Orion Properties Incorporated. There's also the NLEX-SLEX connector that will be completed within the next 2 years that will basically link North Luzon Expressway and South Luzon Expressway. This will basically help our development in Balintalo. Cloverleaf in particular, as well to be candid, also our ARCA South development.